Blog Talk Radio.
Even though all my times are happy times,
I get unsure and hope for brighter days. I never let it slow my pace, so knowing failure ain't an option. I've been promised and I'm on my way up. Said I believe, but it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet, but I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking now, yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. And I see it walking on, yeah. Always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking, walking, walking. Gotta keep it walking on. Walking shoes on. Step two, step two, step three. Step one, step two, step three.
Walking shoes.
I was the light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. These shoes, these shoes, my shoes.
Walking shoes, walking shoes.
Walking to a promise. Walking to a better land. Said I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking now, yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking on.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All praise, glory, and honor be unto you, O Abiyah, on this beautiful Shabbat day, a nice, clear, sunny day with good weather. So hopefully we'll get some good fellowship in today, Abiyah. Father, I want to thank you for the life, health, and strength that you have given unto all of us in Beth Yahweh congregation, as well as the universal house of Beth Yahweh. Just ask now, Father, that your spirit continue to be upon us and to be upon me, as I am the chosen vessel this Shabbat day to bring forth your word, as you have used our brother Shabbat as well as Ariel to bring forth the word as we enter into this new month and have the opportunity to see that beautiful crescent moon last night. Father, it was so, so beautiful. And Father, I just want to thank you for all that you have done, the way that you have led us so far and the way that you will continue to lead us and guide us in your way. Father, thank you for the healing that you have brought forth for all those that we have set supplication towards you, Father, for Ema Deborah, for our Zakane, Zakane Gary, as well as Zakane Ward, you know, for Sister Choni, Sister Danielle, and their families, Father, that you continue to look after them, Father, with grace, mercy, favor, and kindness, also for the healing of our spiritual leader, Brother Yakel, Father, as he is going to bring forth the word today, Father. So we look forward to what you will manifest through him this day, Father. And just, we just thank you, Father, for all that you have done, Father. And Father, and we thank you for forgiving us for our sins, Father, and where we have fallen short, Father. Thank you for forgiving me for my sins, Father. And every day I fall short, Father. But I thank you for your mercy, Father. I thank you for always allowing me another opportunity, Father, to get it right, Father. B'Shem Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Baruch atah Yahushua HaMashiach, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Baruch atah Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Once again, family, this is your brother Ahab All with Beth Yahweh Congregation in good old Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And this is another episode, Toda Aki, of Blog Talk Radio. And this is Study to Show Thyself Approved Unto Yahweh, a workman to be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the title of today's lesson, rather, is how do we develop peace among the body of Yah? And the keynote is our scripture, a Song of David, Psalm 34:14, and is depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And it's been one of my family. I'm still trying to get through something. I don't know what's going on with my whole nose and throat. Just crazy. I'm kind of like my brother Shabbat said. You know, I've had this lingering sinus issue and stuff just feeling icky. You know, it's messing with my throat now today all of a sudden. But anyway, I'm going to use whatever little bit of voice I got to bring forth this lesson Abba gave me for, for us. And again, you know, how do we develop peace among the body of Yah? And again, that scripture is Psalm 34:14. And again, it's a low-key favorite scripture of mine where, you know, the warrior king, you know, the one who was probably among the bloodiest warriors that fought on behalf of Yah and the nation Israel. He'd been slaying enemies since he was a lad, you know. My brother said in his lesson, you know, a young lad. You know, we've seen David grow up on the battlefield for Yah. You know, when he slew Goliath, and even before he slew Goliath, he said Yahweh delivered a bear into his hand. He also delivered a lion into his hand. You know, the good little shepherd that he was, he said Abba Yah allowed him to slay them both. So he looked at that uncircumcised Philistine as he was a small thing to the giant that Yahweh is in our lives, you know. And it was nothing for him to take those 5 smooth stones, put them in a sling, and throw one deep into his skull. But again, you know, we've seen the life of David unfold before us throughout the scriptures and what he did as a warrior, you know, on the battlefield. And again, you know, this is still, you know, about the initial three lessons, the Torah, you know, prophecy, you know, and you know, brotherly love, you know, because with what we're seeing, shifting gears, what we're seeing, you know, from the testimonies that our patriarchs have left for us and what the way Abba has been leading us is to understand that, as my brother said last night, you know, on their deathbeds, they're reflecting on their lives and the things that, to be honest, from the time they committed those acts, it troubled them their entire lives. This is why they're recanting it. And one of the things I'll never forget Gershom Ben Daniel shared with me a long time ago was that, you know, before somebody passes, you know, they start giving out, they start confessing, you know, whether they start confessing out loud or whether, you know, and I experienced this after he told me this, that somebody, you know, before they pass, you know, they start, you might see them mumbling. You might see that, you know, their lips moving. And what that is, or what, you know, what Gershom Ben Daniel said that was, is that, you know, they're starting that confession, you know, before they pass. And I experienced that with somebody who, I experienced a few people pass right in front of me, but right after he taught that, I experienced that with a man down at the hospital that passed right in front of me. We're trying to get him down to the emergency room, and you just see him, you know, just moving his lips, just mumbling. It's like, wow, you know. But what we're seeing from the patriarchs is they're leaving us a testimony of the things that they know they did wrong and leaving us a testimony so that hopefully we can avoid those pitfalls that they fell into. You know, one talked about, you know, hatred and anger towards his brother, envious of his brother. You know, again, Reuben talked about what led him into such unquenchable lust, you know, and excuse me, fam. And, you know, one of the things that Abba is trying to do with us, right? And look at this. We're in the last month of the summer before we enter into the harvest season, right? The planting time is gone. If you haven't planted certain crops at this point, you're at a disadvantage. Because we're getting now into the time that we're going to start harvesting things, right? Thank you, Mom. And one of the things that Abba wants us to do is, like he said, you know, I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman, right? And he wants us to be a good harvest. Think about the time you bought maybe like a cluster of fruit, whether it's a cluster of grapes or maybe a bag of oranges or, you know, whatever, you know, a bag of apples. And as you're going through that bag, or you're going through, especially with grapes, you go through that cluster of grapes and you find where all the grapes are on, you know, nature's candy, all of them around it might be good, but you dig into a portion of it and you find out that there's one that started to rot already. You know, of course, you're not going to eat that. You're going to take that off and you're going to throw it in the trash. But it's the same thing with us as Abba's children, as his, as Yahushua's disciples, his brothers, his friends, whatever, that he's trying to purge those things from us to help us be the best harvest that he can present to his Father. And this is what he's trying to do. This is why he says, you know, Abba got to purge it. And when you see what Abba is trying to do amongst us here at Beth Yahweh, he is trying to purge us of these things that truthfully cannot make it into the kingdom. As my brother Chevrolet mentioned on Rosh Kadesh night, you know, and you spoke right on my behalf, brother. I want that kingdom. Yes, indeed, I do. I want above anything else. I got to visit somebody's home last night, and I'm going to tell you something. This house, boy, was a beautiful house. Beautiful. But I'd rather have the kingdom in the next life than have a whole bunch of stuff in this life and not make it into that next life. But that's what Abba is trying to do with it. He's trying to... Yahushua wants to present before the Father on that day pristine fruit, a pristine harvest. As I said, he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, and he means that. There can't be any blemishes. There can't be any wrinkles. There can't be any creases. Like, the way my brother Chevrolet do his pants. You ever see my brother do his jeans and do his pants? Crease, that tight crease down the middle. That's what he wants. He even want our blue jeans to be crisp and nice. You understand what I'm saying, family? I hope y'all with me on that. You know, it's like even when Yahushua talks about the putting new wine in old wineskins. You know, his spirit is that new wine. Our being, and not just the physical being, but our spiritual being is that wineskin. And if that wineskin isn't worthy of the new wine that's being placed within it, it ruins the wineskin as well as the wine. And Dayuel talked about that process of what it does when you put that new wine in old wineskins. That old wineskin has already been stretched to its capacity because the process goes on within the wineskin. And as that fermentation process goes on, it causes it to expand. It brings about gases and all that sort of stuff. And if that wineskin isn't flexible, it isn't pliable, if it is old and stretched to its capacity, it's going to burst. It's no good to it. And it's just going to ruin the wine, and it's going to ruin the skin, and it's more importantly, it's going to ruin the wine. Because the point of the wineskin is to have good wine come out of it. So Abba had a few questions that he posed to me, other than how do we develop peace among the body of God? My brother talked about it last night. I got to take a sip of the tea my wife provided for me, Tula. You know, how do we develop peace among the body of God? And again, Abba gave me a couple of questions, and sincere questions, you know, not for me, and I'm going to share it also with, you know, with the body as we go through the lesson. I have some scriptures, and we're not going to be too long today. But one of the first things that he asked me was, are you trying to be Yahushua's friend? Let me share that with y'all. am I trying to be Yahushua's friend? You know, pose it in that, and just in that term, first person, straight up. You know, am I trying to be Yahushua's friend? And one of the things that the scriptures say, we learn in the Proverbs, is if in order to have friends, you must first show yourself to be friendly. So therefore, am I being friendly towards Yahushua? Right? And I'm gonna finish up the rest of the questions, you know, as we go forth. But ponder that question, family. Hopefully we'll get through some of these questions that he placed in mind. I hope everybody say, as my brother Yara will always say, you know, got your study utensils, your pens, your paper, yeah, what is it? Was it brother Yara L? You know, your Bible, your Strong's Concordance, all that stuff. If I fail to mention the part, forgive me. But you know, everybody should get the gist of it by now, right? So we're going to start off in Matthew's 5. And, oh, yeah. And, you know, we're going through the playbook, as my brother Sheva L. mentioned. You know, we talked about the playbook. You know, the Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. And it's not just some silly acronym. It's the truth. You know, the word of Yah is set forth so that way we can be able to get our life right. And don't even complicate it. It's just the means to get our life right. Get it together. You know, bring things in order. Do deep things in decency and in order. You know, these scriptures can't just be cliche scriptures to us. These just can't be words on a page anymore. Abba wants these words to be real to us, and he wants us to start making them actionable in our life. He wants us to be living with this word, as well as this word being alive within us. So anyway, Matthew, we're going to read Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. And we've heard all of these things before. These aren't new things to us as believers, especially if you've been here for a while. The question is, and this is a serious question, are we truly applying them? Are we truly applying them? Because if we are, then Beth Yahweh, the universal house of Yahweh, as well as this congregation, Beth Yahweh, should be the absolute place that shows forth. And anybody who's been here from the time of Gershom and Daniel in particular, we are more accountable than anybody else. A house of love. A house of love. He always said that Beth Yahweh should be known for the love that we have, one, for the Almighty as well, and it should translate over into the love we have for others. But anyway, Matthew chapter 5, starting at 21. Ye have heard that it was said of them of old, thou shalt not kill. And that's the Torah. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I, and now understand this, this is coming right after he said, I'm coming to magnify the law and make it honorable. So he's showing how the magnification of the law is going to come about, how it is going to not just be words on paper, but now how it is going to be. And when he says magnify, yes, he's going to make it great, but now it's going to be the fulfillment of the new covenant, where it has now become personal. It is now becoming, teaching you how to become the embodiment of this Torah. This is how he's going to magnify it, because it's not just going to be words on a paper, but it's now going to be something that is lived, something that lives within all of us, right? Again, so he says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Now hold up. I want to say it was one of my two brothers that talked between the new moon, which was Thursday, and last night, mentioned what took place with Brother Cain. And what took place with Brother Cain from way back then started within his spirit. It didn't start within his actions. His actions were the end result of what was taking place within him internally. And Abba's spirit pleaded with him, told him, Sin lies crouching at the door. Wait, be careful of sin. What have we been learning from the patriarchs? Be careful with these emotions, in particular, anger. Why does he... I remember when one of the rappers talked about when another rapper had got killed, and he said that the man who killed the other rapper was hypnotized by hate. Before there can be hatred, there has to be anger. Hatred is the product of anger. But listen to the words of Yahushua. He said, but I say unto you, 5:22, that whosoever is angry with his brother out of cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Rakah, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. And why does he say all of these things? Why does he count down all of these things? We'll answer that. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee. One of the things that he's letting us know now. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar. So, back then, going to the temple, bringing your gift, bringing your tithes, bringing your offering, bringing whatever, you're bringing it to the altar, right? Whatever your sacrifice is, whatever or trespass you've committed, you're bringing it to the altar. And he said, if I bring to mind, if it comes into your memory that there's an issue between you and your brother, so he's giving us exactly what to do. So think about it nowadays. What is the gift that we bring to the altar, right? Song, praise, prayer, supplication, you know, all these different things we send up to the altar. So now, is he saying before you even set your face to pray, is he saying before you even do anything that is supposed to put you in right standing with me, make peace with your brother? If you remember there's a situation going on between you and your brother, these are the red letter words. These are coming from Yahushua, Yahweh Elohim. He's saying in 5:25, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way and first be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer your gift. So the first step isn't, I'm going to provide a whole bunch of gifts. I'm going to keep praying about it, thinking that that's going to bring about the end result. No, he's saying take action. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So who is he putting the onus on? The person who has the issue. So the first step isn't going to Yahweh about it. The first step, they have these books out. And I would recommend that anyone who is having a problem dealing with these, trust me, I understand how difficult it can be to engage in conversations with someone when you don't know how they're going to react to what it is that you're going to say, what it is that you're requesting. But they're two very useful books. And they're not just business books. These are life help books. One book is called Crucial Conversations. And it was mandatory reading for me when I got promoted to manage at the hospital by my current director. Crucial Conversations. Then there's also a book called Crucial Confrontations, because there's going to come a time when you're going to have to confront someone. And confrontation doesn't always mean that it's a heated argument, that it's a heated debate, that you're standing, you know, you're withstanding someone to their face. Everybody feels like withstanding someone to their face means you got to get up in their face and argue with them. No, sometimes you got to have that FaceTime conversation with people. And sometimes your hands may be shaking, your palms may be sweaty, your heart rate may be elevated. You may stumble over words, but there are techniques to get through the anxiety that is associated with having a conversation or having this confrontation with someone. And again, it doesn't mean violent confrontation. A conversation where you and another person seeing things from two different perspectives, not seeing things eye to eye, not being on the same page. Sometimes that's a confrontation. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily a battle. Especially if you have the spirit of Yah, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but especially if you have the spirit of Yah and that person has the spirit of Yah, there should be no worry or no concern about a violent confrontation. Does that mean that the argument may get a little elevated? But I'm going to tell you something that, matter of fact, I'm going to tell you straight up who told me this. Brother Mika said, don't raise your voice. Raise your argument. Do not raise your voice. Raise your argument. But oftentimes we default to even what our patriarchs have been telling us about our passions. Rah! No, you don't have to elevate your voice to elevate your argument. You don't have to elevate your voice in order to elevate the point that you're bringing across. But what happens is we get frustrated. We lose words to say. We forget to stay calm, to stay in our place, to stay in our lane, to stay grounded. Sometimes it's just from lacking the skills of knowing how to present a proper argument or present your point or get your point across without allowing yourself to get frustrated. Oftentimes we watch these people. The funniest thing to me, right? And like my brother Chabal said, we're going into that season, debate season, right? Do you know these guys after these debates go on to be business partners and friends afterwards while they get all of us on the viewing audience all riled up? Oh, I'm pro this person. I'm pro that person. I'm pro. Look how many pictures there are in the past of Donald Trump with all these daggone celebrities, all these daggone political figures, all these people. And he done put them out on Front Street. I done had plenty of dinners where they came and donated. I done went to plenty of dinners where I went and donated to whatever thing. We done sat plenty of times at the dinner table together. But yet they got us at odds with one another while they, behind the scenes, are low-key friends and business partners on the same boards of mega corporations together. But they got us fools at odds with one another off of the things that they say and that they do. But yet and still, you see tons of pictures of them together being all buddy-buddy. Donald Trump and Al Sharpton. Donald Trump and Jesse Jackson. But yet they got everybody on this level thinking that they're enemies. No, the thing is, and no matter how heated the daggone debate is, at the end of the day, they still going back to business as usual. But yet and still, why is it that the people of Yah, at the end of the day, can't have conversations with one another? Can't have respectful and dignified confrontations with one another? It always has to be the extreme. Oh, I ain't talking to that person. I ain't dealing with them. Bump that person. Poop that person. This, that person. That. Why does it have to be like that? And don't tell me it's because the expectations are so much higher. No, they're not. It's because we want to cop out sometimes. Because we really, at the end of the day, don't want to follow the rules. Don't want to do what Yahweh says. So we make a bunch of excuses why, oh, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to be involved in that. I ain't got time for that. But you got time for it. How many things do you just walk away from just because it didn't go your way that particular time? You going to walk away from your family? And it's so funny because afterwards, my brother, after last week, teaching my brother, there you are, and I had a great conversation because I get to spend times on the internet with him and his bros. And I hear sometimes they don't, and these are his blood brothers and one adopted blood brother. They like the Ninja Turtles, four of them. And even though sometimes they may not agree or see things eye to eye, I've been in the midst of hearing some of the things that they talk about. And they don't always agree, but at the end of the day, they're brothers. And they go right back to being brothers. And he was sharing some funny stories about him and his brothers with me and some of the things that they've been through growing up. And I had genuine belly laugh knowing that they went through that, and yet and still, every time they get together, it's forgiven, it's forgotten, and they move on. Why is it so much different for the people of Yah? When his spirit is supposed to be so, we talk about, oh, the spirit binds us and spirit brings us together. But yet and still, every opportunity we find, we want to get ghosts on the people of Yahweh. Every opportunity we find, we want to say, you know what? Forget them people. And I'm reading from the WEB at this point. 524, rather. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and sister, family member in the body of Yah, and then come and offer your gift. 525, agree with your adversary quickly while you are with him on the way. He ain't talking about an outside adversary. Sometimes we are adversarial to one another. But he says, agree with him quickly. Find a way to agree first. And no, not just agree to disagree. No, because you're still disagreeing. Even if you say, well, we're going to let that one go and we'll come back to that at another time. Because for some reason, we're not hearing one another. We're not able to see eye to eye. And now it's getting to a point now where it's getting into that danger zone. But he says, 525, agree with your adversary quickly while you are with him on the way, lest perhaps the prosecutor deliver you to the judge and the judge deliver you to the officer and you be cast into prison. Now, take that to the ultimate spiritually. Which prison are you going to be cast into? And before you take it all the way to the ultimate, the first thing you're going to be cast into a prison of your emotions and a prison of that situation. Think about this for a second, that oftentimes we are holding on to things and we are allowing it to chain us down. We are locking ourselves into a prison of past situations. And as a result, it is keeping us in spiritual bondage. And oftentimes the other party is going about their merry way with no idea of what's going on with you that you're holding against that person. But let me continue reading on. Agree with your adversary quickly, back to 525, while you are with him on the way, lest perhaps the prosecutor deliver you to the judge and the judge deliver you to the officer and you be cast into prison. Most certainly, I tell you, you shall by no means get out of there until you have paid the last penny. And he's not talking just about physical, and he's talking to the believers. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to the apostles at this point. And he's letting us know that we're not going to get out of this prison until we've paid the entire debt. If we don't think about it, you see it all the time when a person settles or they take a plea deal or whatever. And oftentimes, if the one party knows the party that I don't know if it's the offender or the offendee, whichever party it is, the party that did the person wrong, if they know that they absolutely did that person wrong and they settle, it's because they know if they take it to the fullest, they might have to pay the fullest penalty. And think about it. Anybody who's known anybody who has been facing major time, whether it be on a state level or on a federal, especially if it's on a federal level, your best bet is to do all that you can to work it out before it gets to that level. Because one thing about the feds is if you in trouble with them, they want all their time. They want the full amount of their penalty that you owe them. The state you might could, the city and the state you might could bargain with. But if you let it get to that level, oh, you're going to do all the time that has been allotted to you for your crime. So why? And like my brother Chevelle said the other night, they've learned nothing but from what they pull from the scriptures. And these are the words of Yahushua. Settle it. Before you get into the courtroom, before you get in front of the judge, before you have to go through the whole judicial process, just find a way to settle it. If you wrong the person, amend it. If the person is telling them that they wronged you, amend it. Because at some point, the plaintiff or the defendant is going to be found guilty. And whether you're on the plaintiff's side or the defendant's side, you don't want to pay the full price plus court fees plus anything else they might want to decide to add on. Watch them court shows like Judge Judy was. When she gets tired of it, I'm adding on this, I'm adding on that, I'm adding on this, and I'm adding on that. Even Judge Steve Harvey do that. You know what? As a result, I'm not just going to award you this. I'm going to make them pay that on top of it. Do you want that? Do you really want it? Isn't it just so much better to say, you know what? I settle it. I'll make peace with it. I'll make peace with you. And he says, again, 5:26, most certainly I tell you, you shall by no means get out of there until you have paid the last penny. And it's going to be $499.99. No, it's going to be the full $500, whatever it is, whatever the penalty is. So why not just settle it? This is the word that Yahushua was telling us, y'all. Just settle it. Get it over with. Don't go through that lengthy process. Don't allow yourself to be cast in the prison. Anyway, moving on. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Excuse me. I'm not feeling well. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Master, that you no longer walk as the rest of the nations also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of Yah, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their hearts, who have become callous, gave themselves up to lust, to work all uncleanness and ungreediness and greediness. But you didn't learn Mashiach that way. So he's letting us know that's not what you learned about this life in Mashiach, to become callous. And if you want to know what a real callous is, just ask Ahab to show you his left foot, that big toe. If you want to know like a real, like knock a nail into a piece of wood callous, I'll show you a callous. If you don't have a true under, I'm not talking about like a callous on your hand. I got this callous on my big toe. That boy is hard. So if you want to know what a real callous is, I will show you what a real callous is. It's a hardening of what should be nice, soft, supple skin. But it becomes hard. It becomes thick. So thick. You need help to get that boy down. Like for real. But that's what happens to the people in the world. This is what the nations are like. We're not supposed to be like the nations who have become callous, gave themselves up to lust, and not just lust in the sense of lasciviousness and all that, but even anger. Remember what we learned about anger and lust? You're like the man, they say, has a bloodlust, where it's not just you enjoy the anger and the art that you have against another person. You've become comfortable with it. It's like a familiar spirit to you at this point. So you're all right with it. You're all right with disliking a brother or a sister. You're all right with the uneasiness that you have with a brother or sister. You're all right with you don't want to be in their company. You're all right with the distance that has been between the two of you when that's not the way of Mashiach? No, it is not. 420, but you didn't learn Messiah this way. That's not the way of Messiah. 421, if indeed you heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Yahushua, that you, 422, that you put away as concerning your former way of life, the old man, the old person, that grows corrupt after the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, woman, in the likeness of Yah, has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Therefore, putting away falsehood, speak truth each one with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. And I'm going to read that from the King James Version. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. 426, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Think about that for a second. Every day, as the scriptures say, Paul says, Shaul says this, I die daily. Every day that the sun goes down, that day prior is dead. It's gone. It's forever written down in the encoding of your dash. And for every day that you have allowed that dash to accumulate with the prior day's anger and wrath that you've had towards another person, especially if they are of the body, is another mark on your dash. You know, like how, and so funny, in the school system you have what's on your record, and some things can be expunged, and some things are on your permanent record, even unknowing to you. But every day that we allow a day to go past and we have not made peace and amends with one another, it is on our permanent record. Four 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. But this is important. 427, neither give place to the devil. So that means every day you're allowing this to happen. Every day you go to sleep with this and you wake up with this, you are more in line with the devil than with Yahushua. Every day you do not make peace. Every day you do not allow yourself to make amends. You are giving, even if you got the Ruach HaKodesh, even if you have perfect attendance at service, even if you do all these wonderful things, if at some point you haven't let something, at some point you haven't tried to make peace and amendments with a brother or a sister in the body, you're allowing the devil in. You're allowing him to keep his foot in between your door and the door jamb of your soul, to allow himself in and a whole bunch of his buddies. 428, let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, producing with his hand something that is good, that he may be, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. 429. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but only what is good for building others up as the need may be, that it may give grace to those who hear. Sometimes we're very destructive with our words. You know, we look at James, and James talk about the tongue. Now we have translated the tongue into our thumbs. We have gone from using, and the thing about it is, you know, sometimes words can just go. And I know I've heard, you know, and it's true that sometimes, you know, you wish somebody hadn't said, but now we like to take our thumbs and vent all our frustrations. We like to take our thumbs and say all that we have to say, spew it all out for others to go back and just keep going over and over again. You know, one of the things that my brother, Ariel, said to me the other day, I thought it was very, 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 very important. We were talking about emotional intelligence, what they call EQ. And he said, some people are just so irresponsible with their emotions. And you know what the patriarchs are trying to teach us right now? Emotional responsibility. Before you hit send out your mouth, before you hit send with your thumb, take a moment to think about what it is and how people will react to it. My old mentor used to say this, Sean, whenever somebody sends you an email that makes you upset, don't respond to it right away. Pause. Which man's religion is pure? One who doesn't offend with the tongue. Take a pause. Walk away. Count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Take a walk. Do some breathing before you respond. You can't control how somebody treats you, but you can control how you respond to that treatment. And one of the things that we are supposed to be learning from these patriarchs is how to have control over our passions, over our emotions, how to get them under control. Because like even James said, the tongue can start a fire. It's the smallest member of the body, but oh, it can start some trouble. And James is telling, be responsible with it. Be responsible with your emotions. Again, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth or out of your fingers, but only what is good for building others up. We'll go back to the King James versions. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers or the readers. 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yah, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Moving on to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Excuse me. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, door such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Y'all hear what's being said there? It's not so much about the person being overtaken in a fault. See, stop looking at the other person. He's telling you to take a look at yourself first. That's the most important part. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Don't think what happens to one man could never happen to you. Don't think whatever happened to one sister could never happen to you. Don't think that what could ever happen to one person could never happen to you. So he says, consider yourself. How would you want to be treated in that situation? Now, some of us have had some hard lives and want to be talked to roughly. Okay, that's cool. That's you. First, and that'll be duly noted to whoever needs to talk to you about a situation. But one of the things that each one of us needs to do is learn our brothers and sisters. And how to approach them. As my brother stated in with David and when he sinned and how Nathan went to him. Nathan couldn't go to him and be like, David, ooh, you in trouble. You done had a man killed and took his wife and got her pregnant? Well, not in that order. We know it's not that order. You got a man's wife pregnant, then you had him killed? He could have easily just went in there with that. But instead, no. He went at him in a way that was worthy of honor towards the ruler. But he confronted him. He absolutely did. But you know what was so smooth about what Nathan did? He brought it to him in a way that he knew David would understand. He brought it, he was led by Yah to bring it to him in a way that he knew, one, that David would understand. Because of course he was a just king. Of course he was a king that had the heart for the people. So he brought to him a situation that said there was a poor man. All he had was this little ewe lamb. And this wealthy man came and stole it. I'm paraphrasing, stole it and slaughtered. He said, oh, kill that man. David wanted that man to be brought before him so he could kill him. Because he was wrong. He took that man's last bit. And Nathan says, you spoke well, King. But you're that man. And what did David do? He immediately repented. He immediately understood his trespass. And if you want to know what he felt afterwards, read the Psalms that he wrote after Nathan the prophet came to him with the sin that he knew. He knew that Yahweh knew what his actions were. But sometimes we get so blinded that we fail to realize that Yahweh sees all, knows all, hears all. He says he knows. Even one of the Which one of the sons we found out that Yahweh, when he made us, he knew how we would come out thinking. We will never know ourselves as good as Yahweh knows us. But Yahweh knows how to get our attention. Yahweh knows how to get us right. He knows his sheep. He knows his flock. We are the people, the flock under us. You don't think he knows us? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, we'll go back to W.E.B. Even if a man is caught in some fault, you who are spiritual must restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourself so that you also aren't tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the Torah of Moshiach. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Excuse me. But let each man examine his own work, and then he will have reason to boast in himself and not in someone else. For each man will bear his own burden. But let him who is taught in the word share all good things with him who teaches. Don't be deceived. Yah is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let's not be weary in doing good, for we will reap in due season if we don't give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let's do what is good toward all men, and especially towards those who are of the household of faith. Excuse me, fam. I feel myself. weakening. Let me get through this. Y'all pray for me. I don't know what's going on. And I took a COVID test, so I know it ain't COVID. At least the test came back negative, but I don't know. I ain't feeling right. Matthew 18. In that hour, the disciples came to Yahushua saying, and I'm reading for the WEB, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Yahushua called a little child to himself and set him in the middle of them and said, most certainly I tell you, unless you turn and become as little children, you will in no way enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore humbles himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such little child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him that a huge millstone should be hung around his neck and that he should be sunk into the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of occasions of stumbling, for it must be that the occasions come, but woe to that person through whom the occasions come. So now, let's understand what he is saying. There are going to be problems. There are going to be things that's so funny. So, you know, my brother always talking about, you know, work. We be together at work. And, you know, all those things he be saying is true. And we had one incident. And I watched this incident take place. He said the floor came up and tripped the lady. Well, she stumbled over her own 2 feet and fell right there, right in front of us. And it was no fault of the institution. That's why I stayed right there. I had my institutions back that day. She tripped over her own 2 feet and like she was sliding the home plate. Trying to sit there and talk about, oh, I think my arm's broken, all this stuff. And not, she legitimately fell, but I saw when she fell. And she, sure enough, tripped over her own 2 feet. The floor came up and grabbed her foot like, yeah. But then there was another lady who fell, another sister who fell. And this time there was water on the ground. And, you know, they didn't put up a sign to say, hey, you know, be careful. And when I say I saw this girl go down full force on her knee, bam, I heard it like pop. And she jumped right up. And I said, sister, whoa, 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 sister, sit back down, sit back down, sit back down. Don't you get up. Don't you walk. Don't you make a move. Because I saw that. She slipped on that water and went right, all her weight went right down on that knee. I haven't seen her since. But on the other hand, now you got that situation where it was a fault of the institution because ain't nobody put a wet floor sign up. Nobody stood there. And we were supposed to do due diligence, stay right there and make sure that nobody walked in that area. But she sure enough did, went right down, put a full force down on that knee. I haven't seen this since to know what's going on with her. But there's sometimes we cause ourselves to stumble, and there are sometimes situations cause us to stumble. So there's going to be stumbling. There's going to be these things that happen in life, sometimes by our own doing, sometimes not by our own doing. So they're going to happen. But the question is, how do we navigate through these times when we stumble? But the young lady who, it wasn't her fault, was going to go right back up and go out to work. The woman who it was her fault was sitting there talking about my arm broken, looking for a payday. Probably looking for a payday. But again, things are going to happen in life. Situations are going to take place in life. How do we deal with them? It says, woe to the world, because back to 18:7. Woe to the world because of occasions of stumbling. For it must be that the occasions come, but woe to that person through whom the occasion comes. Don't be that person that causes woes. And he's talking about his children here. Don't be that person. He's not talking about the child. He's talking about his children. He's talking about those who believe on his name. Don't be that person that causes stumbling to another person in the body. 18:8, if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life maimed or crippled rather than having 2 hands or 2 feet to be cast into eternal fire. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and cast it from you. not literally, even though he is talking quite literal about your soul right now. But if it's that serious with you, if your eyes are causing problems, he tell you, pluck it out, put an eye patch on, put some blinders on. If your eyes continually cause you to stumble, put some blinders on. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes be cast into Gehenna of fire. 18:10. See that you don't despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. He's talking about his believers. He's talking not just talking about that child. The child is what? A similitude? I think the child is a similitude or a metaphor, whatever. The child is. He ain't talking about that child. He's talking about his children. He's just using the child. He's saying, if you want, you got to be like this child, right? So he's not talking about the child that he has in front of him. He's trying to tell us who we are to him and how we are to deal with one another and how we are to act towards one another. Again, he says, see that you don't despise one of these little ones. We are the little ones, each one of us. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who's in heaven. Do we ever look at our brother or sister and come to the understanding that we're not just talking to that person and that person isn't just talking to us, but that we have a spiritual being that accompanies us? Isn't that what one of the patriarchs was talking? I think it was Yehuda. Yehuda said how he had an angel that went with him wheresoever he went. We all do. But our angels are going to sit back and take very good notes, like my brother Sheba El does. Excellent note taker. Brother Yariel is like that too. Excellent note takers. So just imagine they're like that angel sitting there taking notes, hanging on to every single word that's being spoken. But now two believers are interacting with one another, and that's what's taking place. And two believers are having issues with one another, and that is taking place. And then that is going reported back to who? He said to his Father. They're giving a report to his Father. 18:11. For the Son of Man came to save that which is lost. Sometimes don't we see that our brothers and sisters get lost in things? Sometimes it doesn't mean lost. Oh, I'm not coming. Sometimes you could be coming and very well be lost in bad thinking, bad situations, bad mindsets, bad emotions. Oh, yeah. Sometimes your body is present, but your mind is far, far away. You're just going through the motions. For the Son of Man, 18:11, came to save that which is lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, doesn't he leave the 99, go to the mountains and seek that which has gone astray? If he finds it, most certainly, I tell you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 which have gone astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of the little ones should perish. So he's letting us know he goes seeking that little one because why? He knows it's dangerous out there away from the flock. And as the good shepherd, he's got to make sure that the entire flock stays intact. Why? Because each flock, do you understand in the flock that there is even among sheep, there is the one that is the leader of the herd, that the herd tends to follow one another, and you got the goofy one that always is towards the back, who sometimes seems to get lost. But he said, I got to go find old goofy sheep, old silly sheep. I got to get him back amongst the flock because I don't want him to get eaten alive out there. It's dangerous out there. There's wolves, there's bears, there's coyotes, there's all sorts of vicious animals, snakes, that he can't defend himself against. If he finds it, most certainly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 which have gone astray, which have not gone astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. He don't want the brother to perish. He don't want the sister to perish. Okay, here we go. Let's get into the heart of this. The meat and potatoes of this. 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go show him his fault between you and him alone. He said, if your brother, who was apart from you, sins against you, he hurt your feelings. He said, go find a brother. Go talk to the brother or sister in this situation. He says, this is the playbook. If your brother sins against you, go show him his fault between you and him alone. Y'all go talk about it. It ain't complicated. But pride, ego, the devil gets in between us. And this is any brother, any sister. If your brother sins against you, go show him his fault between you and him. Brother, this is how you, this got me upset. If he listens to you, you have gained back your brother. Y'all at peace with one another. It's shalom again. Seek peace and pursue it. This is what he's telling you. Go find your brother. There's an issue. Go find him. Call him. Go talk to him. No. Turn your phone off. Lock it up. Other than to say, hey, not even for that. Nope. Turn your phone off. Lock it up. Call the person. Kind of hard to do that if you lock your phone up. Call the person. Don't text. Don't call the person. Make some FaceTime. Make an appointment with them. Now, 18:16. But if he doesn't listen, take one or two more with you. Hey, bro, I need you to come and help me with this situation. For some reason, try to talk to this brother. I'm trying to get him to understand, but for some reason, he ain't seeing eye to eye with me. And I'm not seeing eye to eye with him. So I'm going to need you to come with me just to kind of mediate, be there, not for backup in the sense of, yeah, man, just in case things jump off. No. For counseling purposes. And he says, but if he doesn't listen, take one or two more with you, that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And it ain't just for jotting down purposes. It's for the purpose of, oh, well, bro, hold on. Stop talking for a second. Did you hear what the brother said? Yeah, I heard what the brother said. No, that's not what he said. That's not what he said. Because sometimes what happens is then, you know, Stephen Covey says, seek first to listen. But oftentimes what happens is, and he goes through the whole psychology of it, we're thinking about our response instead of listening to the whole matter that the person is talking about. We're thinking about our rebut. That's human nature, human psychology. Because now sometimes emotions get involved. You may be on the defensive. You may be feeling like, man, I ain't got time for this or whatever. But it's important to your brother or your sister. But how many of us are actually following the playbook? This is step one. This is the formation if you're in football. Now this is the route if you're on offense. This is the gap if you're the running back that you need to run through. This is where the blockers come into play. This is where the tight end breaks out an out route. Anyway. But if he doesn't listen, take one or two more with you, that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. If he refuses, 8:17, this is the next step. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the assembly. If he refuses to hear the assembly also, let him be to you as a heathen, a non-believer, and as a tax collector. And even the IRS don't like the IRS. That's why the IRS officer shot the IRS officer. If y'all didn't hear about that in the news. Not a joke, but anyway. That's what happened. Right? That's the steps. Simple as that. Those are the three steps. Go to the brother. Brother doesn't hear you. Go with some witness. Witnesses doesn't hear you. Now it's time to take it to the ultimate level, bring it before the assembly, because then it's a big issue. There's an issue now, a super issue, only going to be destructive to the body if it's not dealt with. And we're experiencing that. Most certainly, I tell you, whatever things you bind on earth, is 8:18. Most certainly, I tell you, whatever things you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. He's talking about amongst the body. He ain't talking about big stuff. This is still on topic. Stay in the verse. Stay in the chapter. He's talking about amongst the believers. Most certainly, I tell you, whatever things you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. And whatever things you release on earth will have been released in heaven. Again, assuredly, I tell you that if two of you will agree on earth concerning anything that they will ask, it will be done for them that my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. So what's happening now and why he's mentioning this is not so much about rulings on the Torah per se, but he's saying, talking about these situations that come about. But if you have to cast this brother out as being a non-believer and as someone that is reprehensible or detestable, that means now that brother's cast out or sister's cast out from the body. 18:21, then Peter came and said to him, Master, how often should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times? Man, how many times I got to go through this? What is you talking about? You know, Peter was that thug. He carried the sword. When a man came at Yahushua, he took that sword and cut his ear off. That's how he got a brother named Snap and Pop. I tell everybody, once he hits Snap, don't let him get to Pop. But that was Peter. Hold up, man. What you talking? I got to forgive his brother seven times. Come on, yo. 18:22, Yahushua said to him, I don't tell you until seven times, but until seven times, seven times. They got the, now everybody's wearing the shirt, try Jesus, because I throw hands. Okay. I got a good chuckle off of that song. But you know, the message behind it is, it's a very dangerous message, and it's going to get a lot of people hurt. As we can see, people are acting very foolish. And now it's a bumper sticker, it's a T-shirt, and all this sort of stuff. Very irresponsible. Extremely irresponsible. And I got a chuckle out of it. But it's extremely irresponsible, especially in light of what took place with Alabama. Now everybody wants to fight. Already in an ultra violent world, we're living in a real Grand Theft Auto 5 simulation right now, where everybody is ultra violent. We had somebody get threatened where I work at. The person was blocking the lane. They was wrong, super wrong. You blocking the lane. We can't let anybody go through. We've got people, patients behind you. You delivering food. Could you just pull over to the side and let the patients get through? Get the bleep out my face. I get you killed. Huh? Everything has to go. Because I asked you to please adjust your vehicle so that patients, elderly patients, needy patients, cancer patients can get through. That justifies you wanting to call somebody to take my life. And you can't take these threats lightly these days. But that person who is in the wrong really felt that that man, that young man was worth, nice young man, that that is worthy of a death sentence. This is where we at. Me and my brother was talking, man. Please, Yahushua, please come back. Please. Please. Because even the believers are getting weary now. When we start losing patience and love with one another, see, everybody thinks wearing out the patience of the saints is dealing with external factors. No, it's dealing with internal factors too. When we can't tolerate one another, when we have lost love towards one another, yeah. Time for Yahushua to come back. Therefore, 18:23. Yahushua said, I don't tell you until seven times, but I tell you to seven times seven. 18:23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to reconcile accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to reconcile, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. But because he couldn't pay, his master commanded him to be sold with his wife, his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell and knelt down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will repay you all. The master of the servants, being moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. Who is the master in that situation? Y'all. Who is the servant in that situation? The Lord, the master of the servant, being moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, pennies on the dollar. And he grabbed him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. 18:29. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. He would not, but went and cast him into prison until he should pay that which was due. The man released him, the Lord released him of 10,000 talents, and he didn't let the man go for some denarii. Had that man cast into prison. 18:31. So when his fellow servants saw that what was done, they were exceedingly sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his master called him in and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have mercy on your fellow servant, even as I have mercy on you? His master was angry. We don't want to make the master angry with us. His master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due. See, when we become unforgiving to that point, who are the tormentors, family? Life situations. Because we've become so unforgiving that the master says, you know what? You're not worthy. His master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if you don't forgive your brother from your hearts for his misdeeds. Y'all better hear that message, y'all. Y'all better be hearing that message. Y'all better be hearing the message, y'all. I'm telling y'all. So Abba got some questions. Are you trying to be Yahushua's friend? And I'm going to go, and Abba said, go back to something. My life, go back. Write down on a piece of paper, you have done personally for Yahweh. Write down on a piece of paper all that you have done for Yahweh. And ask yourself, do I have any issue with a brother or sister in the faith? Does that person know that they have wronged me? Have I brought it to that person's attention? If yes, what have I done to bring about peace between that person and myself? Have I followed the instructions of the word given to me by Yahweh's word? And yes, that is the phrasing that Abba gave to me. Have I followed the instructions of the word given to me by Yahweh's word? Am I living a lie in the eyes of Yahweh? Have I personally done everything according to the word of Yahweh to correct any situation that has occurred between me and a member of the body? Do I feel that I have done that? Do I feel like I have exhausted all means to repair the breaches that were made in my relationship with the believers? Do I feel like I have given everything and done everything to become whole with my brothers and sisters? Am I willing to face the future with the decisions that I am making regarding my relationship with my brothers and sisters in Yahweh? Will Yahushua be pleased with me when I meet him? Baruch Atah Yahushua, King of the Universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, trust with a trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate king. Baruch atah Yahushua, our mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his deeds. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All praise, all glory, all honor be unto you, Heavenly Father Yahweh. We thank you for the tender mercies that you have shown to us day after day, for being kind, loving, forgiving, for not giving us our just due, Father, for when we trespass against you. Father, have mercy on us. Forgive us our debts in the same way, Father, that we forgive those who are indebted to us. Father, bring about a card, bring about shalom, bring about a hub amongst the brothers and sisters in Beth Yahweh camp. Help us to move on towards a new day. Help us to move on into this new season, Father, with your spirit of love, with your spirit of gentleness, with your spirit of meekness. And yes, Father, hold us accountable for the things, Father, which we have given our word to you that we would do, such as our foreparents did back in the day. Father, look upon those who are weak. And Father, let us fulfill the word that says that those of us who may be strong, uphold the weak. I pray for the healing once again, for our Ema, for our Zakeens, for our Yaladim. Father, for anybody who is suffering spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, Father. And if there's anything that we can do to assist any brother in any situation, Father. Father, let our hands not be slack. Let our hearts not be hard. Let our minds not be darkened, Father, from the love and the light of you and your son, Yahushua. Father, these things we ask in Yahushua's most holy and precious name. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom. Yahweh is with you all. Right.
the Almighty. I this stream over my soul. Oh, stream over my soul. And I shall lift my voice to the only one of creation. And I shall sing songs of redemption, songs of praise unto him. I claim in my position in creation as the son of the Almighty Jah, beholding his glory, manifesting through I and I forever. Oh Lord. Oh, God.